Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
My quest to learn more about sports history, I knew I wanted to learn a little bit more about professional hockey history. After all, I live less than 20 miles from the shores of our neighbors to the north in Canada, where the game of hockey is king. I figured the person to start my research expose on had to be Mr. Hockey himself, Gordie Howe, and here's his story, coming up in a moment. Hi, my name's Darren Hayes, and I know you've heard me on the Pigskin Dispatch talking about football history for years. Well, now I'm on a new mission, a quest to find sports history in other sports, as well as football, by learning through the jerseys and the apparel and the gear that the players wore and the franchises supplied their teams. It's an educational trip, and I'm taking you with me day by day, player by player, uniform by uniform, the Sports Jersey Dispatch.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my sporting friends. This is Darren Hayes of the Sports Jersey Dispatch. And in my quest to learn more and more about great sports history, I know I have to get into the game of hockey a little bit more. And I'm so close to the Canadian border here on the north coast of Pennsylvania that I want to get into somebody that maybe is really special to hockey. Well, I found a guy named Mr. Hockey, and his name is Gordie Howe. So going through his career has some very interesting stories, and I wanted to share with you what I learned about the great Gordie Howe, just some of the pieces of the information. Now, Howe had a career that spanned 34 seasons as a player, ranging from 1946 all the way to 1980. So think about that. That was from when World War II just ended all the way to just the Cold War almost ending. That's quite a career indeed. And during that period, he was part of four different Stanley Cup championships with the Detroit Red Wings. He took home six Hart Memorial trophies as the NHL's most valuable player in the league, and he was awarded a half dozen Art Ross trophies that said that he was the league's top scorer. Pretty special. Those are only part of his story, the great skater's career. There's the little stories within his storied career that I find most interesting, and I found a lot from some great hockey news sites, and I'm going to share some of those with you right now. Now, one of the most interesting ones, and it's pretty unbelievable, and I'm not sure exactly when this happened, but this came from thebrobible.com on Gordie Howe. And they, according to their story, they said that Howe went to a game during his career, didn't say where, didn't say when, but he went to a game and something happened to his playing equipment. It was misplaced or stolen or something. And so he got there with his teammates. They get in a locker room. He finds out he has, you know, everything missing. He goes around to each of his teammates and starts a collection to try to put together some pieces too, so he can go out on the ice with them. And, you know, of course they want him to play because he's their star player. You know, at any level that he played at, he had to be the star. He goes around and gets all the pieces and everything. Well, one thing that he couldn't borrow or beg or steal from one of the other players was a jock strap and cup. So what the innovative Mr. Gordie Howe did is he put together, found an ashtray. I'm going to assume it's a metal ashtray. And he stuffed that down the front of his britches and went out on the ice and used an ashtray to protect the old family nuggets there. So I thought that was pretty innovative. You know, hopefully it wasn't like a big glass ashtray, because that could cause some major problems. We won't get into that. Now, another interesting story came from his Hockey Hall of Fame bio, which I have little reason to doubt the veracity of. He was ambidextrous, you know, could shoot with both sides of his hand, both sides of the stick. And Howe drew a lot of attention, and he was sizzling down the left side of the wing to take a slap shot. And next minute, he escaped down the right wing, switched his stick to the other side, and he still, with a forehand, zipped another shot on a goal. So, you know, he came down a goalie, you know, fired a shot, got the puck back, came back with the other hand, scored the goal. That's truly amazing. Another one from the Bro Bible website says that how rookies in all sports have a good amount of torture on their hands, even when they're veteran counterparts. And the great one, Wayne Gretzky, is no exception. And he too had to endure some abuse when he was a younger player coming into the league. And he did play against some all-time greats like Gordie Howe. And the first time he played against Howe, who was, by the way, was Wayne Gretzky's idol growing up. If you were playing hockey up in Canada, wouldn't be looking up to Gordie Howe. And the 17-year-old member of the WHA's Indianapolis Racers was Gretzky in the 1978-1979 season. In a contest Gretzky recalls fondly thanks to the way Howe welcomed him to the big time, says the Bro Bible website. It was the third or fourth shift in the game. I took the puck from him, and before I knew it, this big stick was pounding me on the hand. I thought I'd broken my thumb. He took the puck and said, "Don't ever take that puck away from me again." And I said, "Okay." Now, that's an amazing story in itself. There are other stories where he was to go play minor league hockey, and the I'm not even sure where it was. It might have been in Saskatchewan. And he went to go play. That was right during World War II. And he was a younger player. He was still in high school. And he didn't quite make the team, but they didn't want to send him home yet because they figured there was going to be an opening real soon on the team. So they told him to go down to the local high school and enroll in school and learn, and he could still practice with the team and such. Well, Hal really didn't like school, wasn't a great student. There were some rumors that maybe he was dyslexic or had some other learning disabilities that made it so school wasn't such an attractive place for him to want to go. And he went and got a job instead of going to school at a metal sheet factory. And he was making items for World War II in factories and munitions plant or building some kind of armored vehicle or plane or something instead of being in school. That's just who Gordie Howe was. Of course, like we said, he played for 34 seasons and very productive seasons indeed. So I've got to learn a lot about this player, and there are so many other great stories from the Hockey News website, the Bro Bible, the Hockey Hall of Fame, Wikipedia, goes on and on and on. The hockeyreference.com website has all his statistics. Make sure you check all those out. And we're glad that you could join us for this great story on Gordie Howe. Now for our sports jersey take of the day, we're going to talk to our friend from an interview I had just a few weeks ago with the guys from the Gridiron Uniform Database, and that would be Bill Schaefer, Tim Brulia, and Larry Schmidt. And this is Larry Schmidt telling us how he got involved with the Gridiron Uniform Database and loving football uniform history.
Sure. I'm Larry, and I currently reside in the Litchfield Hills in Northwest Connecticut. I'm originally a New Yorker. I was born in Brooklyn, and I was a third-generation New York Giants season ticket holder. My grandfather first got the tickets when the Giants played at Old Yankee Stadium I believe it was 1961. And my grandfather passed the tickets to my father, and then my father passed them on to me. And, I grew up going to Giants games in Giants Stadium. I'm from the era of, Phil Sims and Lawrence Taylor. And football has always been my favorite sport. I've always been very passionate about it. And, I've always, even at a very young age, I loved football history. And I think a lot of my passion from that comes from going to the games with my father. When I started going to the games in the late 70s and early 80s, the Giants weren't very good. And we'd go early with my sisters and my father, and I would be tailgating. And my father would tell my sisters and I, stories about how the Giants used to be so good. They would be in the NFL championship game every year, and Y.A. Tittle and Frank Gifford. My father's favorite player was Sam Huff. And he'd talk about Sam Huff and Jim Brown or Sam Huff and Jim Taylor. So I've always loved football history. And I still remember, I still have the very first history book I got for Christmas when I was 12 years old. And one of the things that I, aside from reading the stories and the names and the players and the statistics, I love the pictures, the black and white pictures, and looking at the team's uniforms. And it's something that always grabbed my attention. And I always thought it was fascinating how I could look at a photograph from the 1950s, black and white, grainy, And I know right away, hey, that's the Chicago Bears, you know, dark jerseys with the three stripes on the sleeves. And I just always thought that was great. And I used to doodle and draw pictures of my favorite football players. And so I remember as a reader of UniWatch, it was a weekend. I don't remember if it was a Saturday or a Sunday. You know, Paul Lucas wrote, there's this new website, the Gridiron Uniform Database, and they linked it. And I went to it. I'm like, oh, my God, I can't believe this, you know. Like Tim was saying earlier, you know, there had never been a database, you know, documenting football uniform history before. And I spent probably the whole day, like clicking on everything and looking at the uniforms. Oh, yeah. And this is great. I'm showing my wife, look at this. This is unbelievable. And she's like rolling her eyes. Oh, yeah, that's real interesting, you know. But, you know, I loved it. And, you know, being passionate and possibly borderline obsessive, you know, they had a little contact us thing. And I started sending Bill and Tim emails like, you know, hey, look what I found. I have this picture of this and it's not quite exactly what you guys have. And basically, over time, I was probably just a pain in the ass that wouldn't go away. So they put me to work and I've become like Bill's one of his research specialists. You know, when he needs something, he's like, hey, Larry, can you look this up? Can you help me with this or dig up some photos on this? So that's how I got involved.
Hey, thanks, Larry. It's always great to learn how somebody gets involved with some of the organizations you're in. And that's truly a great story that Larry Schmidt told us there when he was talking with Tim Brulia, Bill Schaefer, and I just a few weeks ago. We're going to be airing that full podcast, or at least the major part of that podcast, on Pigskin Dispatch over on the other side here later in the week. Some special thanks out to the Hockey News website, the Bro Bible, Wikipedia, the Hockey Hall of Fame, and of course, you know, the Hockey Reference and all the sports references, including Stathead, for these great information that they shared with us. Newspapers.com and onthisday.com. We appreciate all of them and the great people there. Make sure you check out their websites and look up some more information on these great players that we have talked about today. And of course, visit that Gridiron Uniform Database, the GUD, they call it. A great place to do. And we most of all want to thank you for listening once again and making the Sports Jersey Dispatch one of your stops along the way of listening pleasure of daily podcasts to learn that sports history and preserve it. Till tomorrow, everybody, have a great sports history day. This penalty kill is almost over. I got to get back out on the ice. But thanks again for joining us for another great edition of Sports Jersey Dispatch Podcast. We'll see you tomorrow. We invite you to check out our websites, jerseydispatch.com and pigskindispatch.com, not only see the daily sports history, but to experience the preservation of great events and people that play the games. Find us on Pigskin Dispatch. It's also on social media outlets of Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel. Get all your daily sports history. Pigskin Dispatch is happy to be associated with the Sports History Network, the sports headquarters of yesteryear, found at sportshistorynetwork.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Each week, the official Football Learning Academy podcast will take you deep into the history of pro football through interviews with players, coaches, or administrators in the NFL, as well as interviews with Pro Football Hall of Fame selectors, authors, and historians. You'll learn how the game evolved and important moments that shaped the sport into what it is today. And don't miss the Pro Football History Nugget of the Week. Listen to the official Football Learning Academy podcast on the Sports History Network.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcast. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcast. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.